The new millennium also brought with it new global commitments to fight extreme poverty, hunger, and disease. In 1994, 179 governments came together in Cairo for the International Conference on Population and Development, ICPD, to build on earlier global progress in reducing mortality and fertility rates around the world. The governments adopted an ICPD plan of action, which emphasized the vital links of population-related policies related to fertility, mortality, sexual and reproductive health services, education, gender equity, and more, with sustainable development. The plan of action, in addition to calling for universal primary education and steep reductions in infant and child mortality, put emphasis on ensuring universal access by 2015 to reproductive health care, including family planning, assisted childbirth, and prevention of sexually transmitted infections, including HIV/AIDS. The global commitment to fighting extreme poverty in all its forms was deepened and sharpened at the United Nations in September 2000, when the world's leaders adopted the Millennium Declaration, which expressed the goals of the world on the eve of the new millennium. These commitments included 8 Millennium Development Goals, MDGs, adopted as specific, time-bound objectives to improve the conditions of the poorest of the poor by the year 2015 in the areas of income, hunger, disease control, education, and environmental sustainability. The MDGs were subsequently given financial impetus at the Monterey Consensus of 2002 and at several summits of the so-called G8, the 8 richest large economies. Taken together, the Rio Treaties, the Plan of Action on Population and Development, and the Millennium Development Goals can be called our Millennium Promises for Sustainable Development. They are the promises that our generation made to itself and to future generations at the start of the new millennium. As a group, these treaties and commitments are broad-reaching, inclusive, and inspiring. The scaffolding is impressive. If successfully implemented, the agreements will put the world on a trajectory of sustainable development. Yet these millennium promises might also do little more than join history's cruel dustbin of failed aspirations. Turning large goals into real results on the ground is always challenging, and so too is the cooperation needed to achieve them, but never more so than when the goals are global. Most dangerously, the fragile scaffolding is shaken daily by the realities of global conflict. The new millennium, which began on January 1, 2001, had not yet seen 1 year before the world was thrust into great fear and discord by 9/11. The attack was harrowing, but the U.S. response was even more consequential. The Bush administration launched a new war on terror that crowded out all other aspirations. Even before 9/11, the United States had thumbed its nose at the Kyoto Protocol, which implements the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. The Millennium Development Goals were met with stony silence and scorn within the corridors of the White House. And the administration launched initiatives for new nuclear weapons, seeming to challenge the rest of the world into a new arms race. Violent conflicts opened across the Middle East. The Oslo peace process between Israel and Palestine was shut down. The shared goals of sustainable development were nearly brushed aside in the process. Yet a single-minded pursuit of a war on terror was doomed to fail, undermining global cooperation, addressing symptoms rather than causes, and draining attention and resources away from the fundamental challenges of the new world economy. A new approach to development practice. In addition to the problems of achieving global cooperation, we also neglect highly effective and low-cost solutions because our very methods of research and governance are not well suited to the challenges of sustainable development. Scientific research proceeds in intellectual silos that make far too little contact with one another. Research in the physical sciences, biology, engineering, economics, and public health is rarely intertwined, even though we must solve problems of complex systems in which all of these disciplines play a role. The problems just refuse to arrive in the neat categories of academic departments. Moreover, the problems can only be solved through an interactive approach that combines general principles with the details of a specific setting. Academic studies too often begin and end on the basis of general principles without due regard for ground-level complexities. The challenge of ending extreme poverty in Mali, or combating desertification in Darfur, or reducing population growth in India, or overcoming economic isolation in Afghanistan, is akin to the challenge that a medical doctor faces in treating a patient. A successful clinician needs to understand both the general principles of physiology and disease control and the unique circumstances of the patient, including her symptoms, lab tests, medical history, and family circumstances. In The End of Poverty, I called for a new clinical economics, which combines theory and practice, general principles, and specific context. 30 years ago, in two beautiful books, MIT professor Donald Shun wrote in a related way about reflexive practice, meaning the combination of general training and specific problem solving. More generally, we need a new clinical approach to sustainable development and new methods of training the next generation of development leaders. My professional home, at the Earth Institute at Columbia University, is an unalloyed gift and joy in the opportunity to engage in complex problem-solving and clinical economics. The Earth Institute brings together physical scientists, ecologists, engineers, economists, political scientists, management experts, public health specialists, and medical doctors in an extraordinarily exciting and fruitful common search for solutions to the global challenges of sustainable development. Much of the scientific information in the pages that follow comes from the extraordinary research and teaching of my colleagues. I hope that as an economist, I have been able to do at least some justice to the richness and wondrous insights of the partner disciplines. This book is written with my profound admiration and gratitude of my colleagues.